Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. Today's guest is Kevin Anthony. Kevin is a certified sexologist by the American Board of Sexology and a sex, love, and relationship coach. For over 10 years, he has worked with men, women, and couples to help them have stronger, happier, and more loving relationships and the best sex of their lives. He's also the host of the Love Lab podcast and the co-creator of the online course series Power and Mastery, which is a complete men's sexual mastery training to develop a man's stamina, boosts his confidence, and enhances sexual abilities. So excited today to have our guest, Kevin Anthony, here on Sex Talk Cafe. We have a fabulous topic at hand, amazingly knowledgeable guest. And to be totally honest, like this is actually a topic that I've wanted to address here on Sex Talk Cafe, and really have just been waiting to have for the right guest, the right person to come in and share this information with us. And so Kevin, I'm so glad that we've connected, and welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Would you tell our listeners just a little bit about you and your work, just so we have a foundation before we jump into all the juicy stuff we're going to touch on?
Sure. So I'm a certified sexologist, tantra counselor, NLP practitioner, and a sex, love, and relationship coach. And for over a decade, I have been helping men, women, and couples have more fulfilling relationships, have better sex lives, really help them have the best sex of their entire lives.
Love, 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 love it. Now, one of the things that you have as part of your awesomeness that you offer to the world is a program called Power and Mastery. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. Power and Mastery, which is a complete men's sexual mastery training program.
Okay. This is what I want to talk about. So when you're talking about men's sexual mastery, what are we referring to?
Well, it's actually quite a broad set of skills, and the Power Mastery program is broken up into three separate courses where if you buy the whole thing, they all come bundled together, but they tackle kind of three different areas. So the first one is it's helping men with ED or erectile dysfunction. Okay. One of the things, so I used to do this work with my wife who's no longer with us, and she was doing this work even before we got together. And one of the things that she noticed over time was that it used to be much, much older men seeking help for erectile dysfunction. And then they started showing up even younger and even younger and even younger, to the point where 20-year-olds were showing up in the office wanting help with ED. A 20-year-old should not have a problem with ED. So we realized that there was a big problem going on out there that was affecting a lot more than just older men. So there's an entire course just on how to deal with that. The second one is helping men with premature ejaculation. And this is a problem that, again, spans all of the age ranges. And, you know, if you ask women what is sort of their biggest problem when it comes to sex with their partner, a lot of times they'll say, it just doesn't last long enough and I can never get to my orgasm. So yeah. Then I have to pull out the vibrator, or, you know, we have to do something else, or I just end up unsatisfied. And yeah. So that second piece is really geared towards helping men solve that problem, because it is a pervasive problem. And if you really want to have the, you need to figure out a way to solve it.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And, you know, I'm curious about this phenomenon of young, and I am with you on this. I see this in my sex therapy practice of younger and younger men struggling with the issue of ED. And I'm curious, from your work and your perspective, what do you attribute that to?
In the young men, it's mostly psychological. So, you know, when it comes to treating ED, so the first thing I always have to say, like, I'm not a doctor, right? So somebody comes to me with ED, especially if they're older, The first thing I have to say is, have you been to your doctor? Have you had a full panel done? Because as we know, ED can be a symptom, sorry, of a larger cause such as heart problems, right? So I always need to tell them, go just have the panel done. Just rule all that stuff out. Make sure your circulatory system is working the way it's supposed to and you don't have any other major risk factors. Once that's taken care of and you come back and you say, yeah, doc says I'm all good. Okay, now we know that we're probably dealing with something more related to a psychological issue. And so there's all kinds of performance anxiety that comes in. You know, with the younger men these days, this is an interesting sort of phenomenon that's specific to the times that we live in now, which is that, you know, if you look at the stats, young people are having less sex than previous generations.
Really?
By a lot. Oh, yeah. I won't go into I've had some people on the show, experts on this, they've done massive surveys and found that younger generations are having a lot less sex. In fact, I did an entire show on my podcast called Your Ancestors Had More Sex Than You Do. So
this
we
is
tend,
not a thing.
What's that?
This is not a good sign if that's true.
No, it's not a good sign, and it's absolutely true. And the thing that we see too is that people are having sex later and later in life. So there's more and more people showing up who are, you know, 30 years old and have never had sex.
Wow.
And so what's happening is they start putting all this pressure on, like they haven't had the experience.
Yeah.
They have all this pressure. They are having difficulty finding partners to have sex with. And it creates this huge amount of emotional pressure and performance anxiety that's absolutely killing their libido and their ability to achieve an erection. So that's one of the major causes. One of the other ones that I see a lot that is also somewhat related to the times that we live in is excessive porn use.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's a big one.
It is a big one, and it creates problems being able to achieve an erection, not so much when using the porn, but when they're with a real person.
Yeah.
And we could talk about why that is. I don't know if you really want to go down that rabbit hole, but that's another big reason. So those are a couple reasons why we start seeing a lot more young people showing up with things like erectile dysfunction.
And yeah,
porn contributes to the premature ejaculation as well.
Right. And yeah, maybe not go down that rabbit hole just yet, maybe in a little bit, but these are huge things. And I think that a lot of people, I don't know, I feel like you've got two sides of the camp with the porn use, right? There's the side of like, oh, porn is harmless and it's, you know, there's nothing bad about porn. It's that we shame people for using it. And that's the problem. We shouldn't, you know, porn is good. It's healthy. And then the other side of the camp where it's like, well, it really can and does have really negative impacts on people's lives. And one of the aspects of how that shows up is exactly what you're speaking to with the challenges with erection. And then also, as you said, it can also contribute to the premature ejaculation. So I'm of that side of things, because I've had just too many men walk through my door that present with that, where it is a problem. And it is a problem if you can't be aroused with an actual living, breathing human, and you're dependent almost on needing that excessive stimulation of porn in order to be able to experience pleasure and orgasm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I always have to say this because I'll get blowback from men. I'm not against porn. If you're going to use it, though, you have to use it responsibly. Did you know that you could overdose on water and die?
Yeah.
Water. The thing that's essential for life. It's all about how you use it is the point, right? So if you use porn occasionally here and there, no problem. But if you start using it excessively to the point where it's causing problems with your real life relationships and your real life performance, then you've gone over the edge, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if we talk, let's come back to this piece around the lasting longer. I want to really dig into this. This is a big part of what I believe in and I'm passionate about in the world in terms of my work as well. I come at it from, you know, more of the feminine perspective and women's sexuality. However, for women that are with male partners, but men are like a huge, huge, huge part of a woman's pleasure in sex and her, you know, ability to be able to, not necessarily her ability, but, you know, it's a huge influence on a woman's ability to experience climax and deep states of expansion and opening and ecstasy and bliss. having a male partner who's capable of sustaining an erection to the extent that his female partner can really sink into her own pleasure and her own bliss, which, for most women, it takes some time. It's not a 2 to 5 or 7 minute thing. But we have this sort of epidemic out there in the world of most men, depending on what study you consult, it's like 2 to 7 minutes in terms of how long they last. And some men far, far less than that. We're talking like a 30-second penetration and sex is over, which obviously that can have a really negative impact on a woman's desire for intimacy and for sexual engagement. And I think that the world needs better. I think that the world needs better because when women are experiencing pleasure and enjoyment in sex, the world is a better place. And so can we just dig into this? And from your perspective as a man, you're obviously an expert in this area. Like, I just want to hear your perspective around this, just around, anything you want to respond to around what I just said. I kind of threw a lot of stuff out there, but just grab onto something. Let's dive into this topic.
Okay, so as you said, the world does deserve better, and we all deserve better. And you're correct. There are two main studies done on this. One said 2 to 5 minutes, one said 5 to 7 minutes as the average length that a man lasts. Remember that average means the middle, which means 50% of the people are not even lasting that long. The part that you didn't mention, which they also studied, which was how long it takes on average for a woman to have an orgasm. And in that, they found 20 to 30 minutes. So if the average man can only last 2 to 7 minutes, and the average woman takes 20 to 30 minutes to orgasm, do you think there's a problem there? She's never going to get there. It's not even close.
Right. It's not even close. So, how do we bridge this gap?
Well, the way to bridge the gap is men have to learn how to last longer. Now, yes, men have to last longer, but men, if you're listening to this, you have to understand it is absolutely within your own best interest to want to last longer. Yes, it's going to help her tremendously and she's going to love it, but it's not just for her. You get a benefit out of it too. And this is one of the things that is the absolute hardest thing to get men to understand. Men are so addicted to the quick ejaculation that 5 to 7 minutes is really not a problem for them because they have their ejaculation. They're like, I'm good. But what they don't understand is that if they could forego that early ejaculation, and if they could ride her waves of ecstatic bliss, and each wave's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, they will experience so much more pleasure than that initial sort of explosive ejaculation that they have. And then if they choose later on to actually have an ejaculation, it's going to be the biggest, hardest ejaculation they've ever had because they have built so much sexual energy between themselves and their partner that it is far, far better than the ejaculation you have after, 2 to 7 minutes. So it's within your best interest from your own pleasure point of view as a man to learn how to last longer. But it's also in your best interest as a man from the woman's point of view as well. Because if you can actually take her to those places, like the words that you were using, it was like ecstatic and blissful and like, these really deep orgasmic states, she will look at you like a god. She will look at you like, what did you just do to me? I have never experienced anything like that in my life.
She will worship your cock forever. To my men out there who are listening, if you want your woman to worship your cock forever, please listen to what Kevin is saying. This is truth.
It is absolute truth. And so, hey, what guy doesn't want their woman to look at him like he's the most amazing thing ever and
Right.
worship his cock and love him? I can't imagine any man that wouldn't want
Right.
that. So
Now,
how you get there is taking her through those waves and bringing her into deeper, multiple orgasmic states that blow her mind.
And you're so right about this piece around the addiction, right? Sort of the addiction to ejaculation. This is a foreign concept to most men, Kevin, who are not familiar with this topic or who haven't practiced it. It's almost like I don't think that men notice that. Can you speak to that a little bit, just around that, the addiction to the ejaculation part? And if a man is sort of not conscious of that, how and why would he want to even change anything? I mean, besides what you just said. Wait, we get the whole pleasure part, but there's a resistance to this, I have found, as I've sort of presented this out there, in my work. Like, I get a lot of pushback, even from women. We'll talk about that in a minute. But speak to me about this part of the being addicted to the ejaculation.
Well, the problem is that too many men approach sex and even masturbation or even porn use with the idea that the destination is the goal and the destination is the ejaculation, right? So they're approaching it from the whole reason I'm masturbating and the whole reason I'm having sex is to get to that ejaculation. So the faster they can get to that ejaculation, the faster they receive their pleasure and dopamine hit, right? So they get addicted to racing towards, and a lot of times they're not necessarily even conscious of it. They're not saying I'm trying to get to my ejaculation as quickly as possible, but the actual actions that they're taking and the way they're going about sex is taking them straight there, like straight there. So what I'm trying to help men is, and this is so true in life, right? Which is that it's not about the destination. It's literally about the journey. It's the journey of riding the waves of sexual ecstasy and bliss that is the part that you're there for. And if, oh, you also happen to have later on a really great ejaculation, that's like icing on top of the cake. That's not necessarily an easy concept for a lot of men to understand. But one thing that can help with that, though, is getting them to understand, and I know this is the place we were going to go. You haven't asked about it yet, but we're going to go there now. Helping men understand that orgasm and ejaculation are two separate physical things. They are literally two different things, and most men have no idea because they almost always occur simultaneously unless you have learned to do otherwise.
So let's talk about this because you're right. This is a novel concept to most men who don't know about this, who don't practice it. Those two tend to be inextricably linked. So let's talk about how are those two things separate? Describe this. How does that work?
Well, so there's when we talk about orgasm, there's a couple of components to that. So in a male, obviously there's the energetic, the sort of explosion of energy that happens, but there's also those rhythmic contractions that happen also, those involuntary contractions that help literally push the ejaculate out and into the woman. So, but that can happen without your body actually releasing any ejaculate. So that whole releasing ejaculate function is a separate function. It's just that one usually triggers the other. But you can learn how to not have one trigger the other.
And why? So why would a man want to learn to separate this? Like, why not just delay ejaculation? Be able to have longer sex for as long as you want and then ejaculate at the end. Why would one want to learn how to maybe not ejaculate but still experience orgasm or climax?
Well, in a sense, it is sort of delaying ejaculation, but you're not delaying the movement of sexual energy and the feelings of pleasure. So if you can separate the two, you can have multiple male orgasms. And I know people have heard that word before and they're like, yeah, that's not possible. It is possible. You can have those waves of orgasmic energy flow through you. You can literally feel like you just had an ejaculation, but you didn't actually ejaculate. So in other words, that feeling of movement of energy, even that feeling of satiation that comes after you ejaculate, right? So you ejaculate and you're like, ah, right? You can have that without ejaculating. So you can have pretty much all of the same feelings that you would have when you do have an ejaculation, but without the actual ejaculate coming out.
So
And
what's the benefit of that, though? Why would a man want that?
number one, more pleasure, because you can just have these waves of orgasmic pleasure. But number two, if you don't ejaculate, then you don't lose your erection. And if you don't lose your erection, there's no refractory period. So you can keep having sex. Remember
Nice.
what we talked about a moment ago? Average woman, 20 to 30 minutes. Average man, 2 to 7. How
Yeah.
do you get her there? You
Yeah.
get her there by not ejaculating. But does that mean that you have to put your pleasure on hold for 30 minutes until, she can finally have an orgasm? No, you can have these multi-orgasms while you're getting her there to her orgasm. And then, at whatever point you can choose if you want to ejaculate or not.
Yeah, I love that because I think a lot of times in this conversation around how women need longer time, right? We need our bodies need more time. Our sexual energy warms up a little bit more slowly. A lot of times, here's how this ends up going for a couple. It's she's like, "Oh shit, I'm taking too long. I'll just let's just get it over with, or I'm taking too long and I feel bad, or something's wrong with me because I'm not reaching climax in 7 minutes. He must be getting bored." There's all this story, right, that goes on for a lot of women. So she'll just sort of, give in, let's say, to being penetrated maybe when her body's not really ready for it, for example. And then, of course, it's over quickly and she didn't get much out of it. And so she's just not that, she doesn't think that she's a sexual being, for example. Or
Well,
isn't that a, go ahead.
not only does she think maybe that she's not that sexual a person, but she's going to be less interested in sex. So you want to talk about another benefit, man, on why you would want to learn how to do this? If she's not interested in sex, then she's not going to want to have sex very often, right? Number
Yeah.
one complaint from my male clients is she never wants to have sex. And you know what I tell every single one of those clients? The very first thing I tell them, I say, "You're not going to want to hear this, but if she's not interested in having sex, it's probably because she's not getting the kind of sex she wants."
Yeah, true.
Boom, mic drop. Sorry, but it's true. If she's getting the kind of sex that she wants and that she feels is good sex, she's going to want it. There's this stereotype out there that men have a higher sex drive than women.
Oh
You're a
yeah, let's
woman,
talk about
I'm.
that. Such a lie.
It's a complete lie. It's a complete lie, but I can see where the lie comes from
Yeah.
because so many women are so sort of disenchanted by the type of sex that they're getting that they're
Right.
not really interested in it. But as soon as you wake up that fire within them, as soon as you start to give them the kind of sex that they desire, that they crave, suddenly they become these ravenous monsters. And let me
Yeah.
just tell you something, guys. If you think you as the man are the more powerful sexual being, you have no idea what you're talking about. Women are by far so much more powerful sexual beings. The way they can move energy basically endlessly, and the way they can just go orgasm after orgasm after orgasm, the way they expand, the way they can gush all over the place, they are so much more powerful sexually than we are. But you have to wake it up because for so many women, it's asleep.
Yeah, it is asleep. And I think the other piece of this conversation is that there's so many women that don't even know what's possible or that anything other than what they've been getting is possible. And that, that's my whole passionate soapbox around women's sexuality and waking women up to their own pleasure, because I think a lot of women, and this was true for me, like I intuited that there was something missing for me. There's some unidentifiable more that I longed for, but I had idea how to create that. And so I was just sort of doing what I knew how to do, which was, I'll just have a bunch of orgasms in under 10 minutes. That's not that hard. And I guess it's good. And my partner would be done in about the same amount of time. And that was literally my sex life. But it's like I knew something more was possible, just didn't have any idea how to get there. So I think there's a lot of women that don't understand that something else is possible. So women who are listening to this and thinking like, oh my God, like I wouldn't want sex to last longer than 7 minutes. You do. Trust me. Right? There's women out there think like I see them. I work with them. They're listening to this show right now. Like, why would you just get it over with? And you're right. Like with Kevin, what you're saying is the reason that women feel that way is because they are not being expanded into the true potential of their sexual expression, which is really only accessible when there's this extended lovemaking, extended pleasuring, extended tending to that sexual fire that is, the sexual feminine energy has to be stoked, it has to be warmed, and it will go on and on and on for a very long time once it's warmed up. But if we're never getting to that, 20 or 30 minutes of warm up, and we're ending at 5 or 7 minutes, there's a lot missing for both people in that scenario.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Let's talk about the ladies for a moment
Yeah,
here.
let's talk about the
So,
ladies.
I love talking about ladies. Okay, so you're right. Most women don't really know what their own bodies are capable of. And I hesitate to say this because it sounds not so great in my opinion, but like I don't like to brag about myself, but the reason why I need to say this is because I've had this happen with more than one partner throughout my life, where you have this kind of sex with them. They've never really had that kind of sex before, and the words that literally come out of their mouths are, "I didn't even know my body could do that."
Wow.
So
You're allowed to brag. I give you bragging rights.
It's one of those things. I don't know, comes off cheesy to me. I'm this great sexual master. No, I have taken a lot of time over the years to
Yeah.
study and learn to be my best. And as a man, here's one thing we have to understand is that our performance varies. So if somebody's listening to this and sometime out in the future I end up having sex with you and it's not the most amazing, mind-blowing thing, maybe it was an off day. But anyway, having said that, let's get back to the ladies. So a lot of them are not capable of, or no, not capable. A lot of them don't know what their body is capable of.
Yeah,
And
sure.
that could be partly because they've never had a man that was able to take them there. And then there's also a thing that happens where, we say men are addicted to the ejaculation, but some women get addicted to the quick clitoral orgasm.
Oh,
So
totally.
what my wife used to call the genital sneeze, right?
Yeah.
So you do your masturbation, you get your vibrator out, which is super stimulating, and 5 minutes later you have three orgasms and you turn it off and you're like on with the rest of your day. You never have an opportunity to get to those deeper levels of orgasm. So, ladies, hopefully, that you can have clitoral orgasms, you can have G-spot orgasms, you can have cervical orgasms, and they're all a little different. And the deeper ones, the G-spot and the cervical ones, feel like, and I'm not a woman, so I can't tell you exactly how they feel, but they're described to me often as they feel deeper, more powerful, more like sort of soul shaking as opposed to the clitoral orgasms.
Yeah,
Now,
for sure. For sure.
nothing wrong with
I would say that's true. I'm a woman. Well, I
it.
concur. I concur.
Thank you. But to get to those deeper level orgasms, it takes more time. It takes stimulation in deeper parts of the vagina. And so, a lot of women, they've never had a man that could go there long enough. They haven't, through their own masturbation practice, learned how to go there. They usually go for the vibrator on the clit. Well, how about a wand that stimulates your G-spot, right?
Can I throw something in on this? Because I think this is so real. I don't want to cut you off too early, though. Are you still on a
That's
rant?
okay. No, go
Okay.
ahead.
So I want to talk about this because there is what you're saying is totally true. And yes, men, you should all become sexual rock stars like Kevin. Take his program, do his program. But there's also sort of this idea that the man gives pleasure to the woman, or the man gives the orgasm to the woman. And I want to get your take on this because one of the things that nobody really like gives us pleasure. Like pleasure, orgasm, those things are internal aspect. They're like internal states of what we already are when the obstacles are removed. So I could see in one sense, a man who is skilled sexually can know kind of the spot places to push. If he's intuitive, if he's tuned into his woman, he can sense and feel her energy, right? There's a real skill and mastery to that where you are literally opening her. But also there's this other side of this equation where if you have a woman who just refuses to open or is really afraid to open or doesn't trust her body or isn't trusting her partner in the moment, it's going to be challenging for no matter where you poke or prod or touch or push or rub, it's going to be hard to get that body to open. So there's also this piece of like the skill of surrender on the woman's side of her being skilled in that capacity to open and allow and trust. Can you speak to that a little bit?
First of all, you are absolutely right. And man, what a big can of worms you just opened up. And I'm going to try to get through as much of it as I can. So the word I like to use is facilitate. We don't give orgasms. We
Oh, I like
help
it.
facilitate orgasms.
I love it.
Because you're absolutely right. No matter how good I am as a man, if she's not open to it, she's not going to have an orgasm. So she's got to be open on her end. He's got to have the skill. When those two things come together, she's likely to have beautiful states, multi waves of orgasmic bliss. But you said some things in there that were really important about her being open. So how do you actually help facilitate a woman being open? This is a huge part of what I teach in the third part of the course, which we didn't get to speaking earlier, which is the sexual mastery piece, right? So there's, once you can get an erection and keep it, once you can last long enough, okay, that's great. But if you really want to get to, the levels that we would consider mastery, there's a bunch of soft skills in there that you need to learn.
Ooh,
So
yummy.
how do you get a woman to really open up? Okay, number one, trust. You have to establish a deep level of trust. Trust in every way. So men have to realize, because as men, we're the penetrators. We got the external genitalia. We're penetrating. We can't get pregnant. Our energy is projecting, for lack of a better word. So a lot of times we don't realize what it's like on the other end. And for a woman, it's incredibly vulnerable. One, to just get naked in front of your partner. Two, to spread your legs for this person in very compromising, vulnerable positions, right? And to really get to those deeper states of orgasm, a woman has to really soften. She has to really open up wide. She has to really let go. She has to receive. That's her job, is to receive. So that's a very vulnerable state, and she's not going to get there if she doesn't feel comfortable in the environment, comfortable with the person she's with. So the man, number one, has to establish a deep level of trust so that she feels like she can just be completely open, completely vulnerable, and nothing bad is going to happen. She is 100% safe and protected in this moment. If she doesn't feel that, she's never really going to open up. Now, she might feel different levels of that. She might be like, okay, we're at our house. I'm in a safe environment. That one's an easy one. Check, right? Okay, he's a safe person. He would never do anything to harm me. Okay, check. So physical safety, great. What about emotional safety? What about can she trust that he's not going to ejaculate in 5 minutes inside of her and they're not using a condom, right? Like all these things are going to be either consciously or subconsciously in her mind. And so your job as a man is to help her let go of all of that stuff so that she can really soften and open up. There's lots of other things too, but that's kind of one of the core sort of pieces, is there has to be that trust there. And safety is another word that comes in. She needs to feel safe. She needs to feel trust. But there's more.
Go ahead. I'm like so with you on this. It's great.
So the other thing is, a woman needs to feel connected to you. So for men, it's easy for us to sort of separate the love, heart connection, and the sex. Most men would have no problem whatsoever if a beautiful woman that they never met before, that they don't know at all, that they have no connection with whatsoever, is like, "You're hot, I'd like to have sex with you." It's like, okay. But that is not the way women operate. Women want, they need to feel an emotional connection with you. So one, you have to do a good job of establishing that emotional connection before you ever even make it to the bedroom. And when you're in the bedroom, you have to do a good job of staying connected with her. So what you don't want to do as a man is like close your eyes and think about your favorite porn movie, right?
Wait, hold on, just pause. I'm going to throw this in for you. This gave me a really good laugh, and we got to bring this in exactly with what you're talking about, right on track here. If there was a way for you to be in control from beginning to end without numbing sprays, extra thick condoms, or picturing Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day, because you do not, brother, she's going to feel like you just left. She's going to
Yeah.
feel abandoned, like you just left her.
And that's the thing that is hard for men to understand. Like, what do you mean I left you? I'm right here. Of course, I'm like my penis is inside your vagina. Like, I'm here, right? But the reality is when you check out mentally and emotionally, she feels it instantly.
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 Instantly. The other piece I want to throw in here for you, Kevin, because I'd love to see what your advice would be on this. So if a man is doing all these things, the challenge that I see with a lot of men is they're doing it, but underneath it, they're like, I'm going to get laid. I'm going to get laid. I'm doing this so I can get laid. I'm going to get sex. I'm going to get sex. We feel that, you guys. We feel your intention when you're coming at us with an agenda. And so how do you help men, Kevin, be able to like cultivate this trust, this safety, this emotional connection, staying present with her without it becoming like a means to an end, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes absolute sense. And you know, that is a tricky thing to teach a lot of men these days. So we talked earlier about it not being about the destination, but the journey. It's the same thing here. So too many men focus on whether, you know, they're dating or, you know, maybe they're even in a long-term relationship and it's date night. And it's like all they're thinking about is that end goal of penis in vagina, right? You have to stop thinking about the destination as being the ultimate goal. The goal is literally the journey. And you have to learn as a man to love and appreciate the rest of that journey. So it's not just about, I'm going to get sex, I'm going to get sex. It's about the connection and the depth and the experiences that you can have leading up to it and then through the actual sexual act.
Do you
You
think it would be
have
fair to say, like I'm totally with you what you're saying. Would you think it would also be fair to say that for a man, like the destination would be how present can you be here right now in this moment, rather than somewhere in the future trying to get somewhere? Would that be fair to say? Like that
You
would be the
could.
way.
My only hesitation with saying the destination is really anything is that destination means that's the end of the journey,
Okay, gotcha.
right? And
The distraction is presence.
I don't want men thinking that once they get to a certain place, that's the end of the journey. I want them to understand that it is an ongoing, continuing thing. For instance, let's just say that you had sex for 2 solid hours and then you both ended in this amazing, simultaneous climax orgasm ejaculation. That's still not the end. Right? So this whole idea of, oh, okay, we had an orgasm, then we roll over and go to sleep. No, that's not the end. It continues on. It continues on with the cuddling afterwards. It continues on with the maybe voicing to each other what you loved about that moment and how amazing it was for you and how you can't wait for the next time. It continues on with when you wake up in the morning and you're like, man, that sex was amazing last night, right? And then throughout the day when you're kissing each other, hugging each other, grabbing each other's butts, right? Like, it is an ongoing thing. It doesn't ever end. And that's why I hesitate to say the destination is any one thing. The whole thing is a nonstop journey.
Yeah, I love that. I completely agree. It's the whole sexual relationship is really a journey because things change over the lifespan, relationships shift and change, we change, and nothing ever stays static, right? So the whole sexual relationship really should be looked at as a journey. I always hear couples say, we want to get back to how we were, 10 years ago. Well, you're not the same people. You've got kids, you've got jobs, you're 10 years older. Like, to have this idea of it being a journey is really beautiful. And I think a much more fluid and accurate and holistic way to approach it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, they might not get back to the way they were when they were younger, but they can get to something equally as good, but different, or even better.
Or even better. Exactly. I'd love if you're willing to share a little bit around, I'd love to know like your personal story and like how did you get into this How did you decide to start practicing some of these practices that you teach around lasting longer and separating ejaculation from orgasm? How did you get on this path?
Oh, that's a great question. My entire life, from the first moment I ever had sex, I was like, how can I do better? I
Wow.
don't know why. Honestly, I can't tell you what motivated me to want to be better. But I just knew I really liked sex and I knew I wanted to be better at it. And so for a lot of my life, I was just trying to figure out how to be better. And I absolutely knew that one of the keys to getting better was being able to last longer. Look, when we all start having sex, we're whatever, 15, 16, 17, whatever, our teenage years, right? Nobody lasts long at that point. And
Right.
so when you're having sex and you're not lasting very long and you're realizing that she obviously wants more, you're like, okay, how can I last longer? At least that's what I thought. Apparently not everybody feels
Right.
that way,
You're an oddity.
but so I was always trying to figure out how to be better. And I always really loved and enjoyed sex, even when I was young. I can remember, having girlfriends at the time when I was, late teens, like 17, 18, 19, into my early 20s, and just really enjoying making it a whole thing. Like, I remember, I was, I don't know, maybe 20, 19, 20, somewhere there, college age. And I remember my girlfriend would come over and I would like light candles in the room and like put some
Wow.
music on and like, and we would make it a whole thing where we would just play with each other. Now, back then I wasn't able to go, multiple hours of actual penetration, but we could do all kinds of other things. And it just made it a whole experience. And then it wasn't until much later on that, I really started getting exposed to ideas like, tantric sex and separating orgasm and ejaculation. I had a
Wow.
girlfriend in my late 20s who gave me a book by Montauk Chia called Sexual Reflexology. And I read that and I was like, you can do that? What? That was the first time I had ever read that you could separate orgasm and ejaculation. I'm like, I'm going to figure out how to do that. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure out how to do that. And I did. And so then I just, continued on that path of learning just for my own self, just for wanting to be better at it, just for wanting to be able to create those experiences with my partner. And eventually people around me, my friends, roommates, started to notice what was happening, sometimes simply through the sounds coming through the walls. And
Sounds of ecstatic bliss.
I literally had a friend, so I was living in a house that I was sharing with two other people, and one of my roommate's friends, who was also an acquaintance of mine, comes up to me one day in the kitchen, and he's like, "Can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." "I heard sounds coming from your room the other day. Can you teach me how to do that?"
Oh my God, so fucking
That
awesome.
actually happened. And I was like, okay. And then through a whole bunch of synchronicities, people started asking me to teach this stuff. And but at the time I was working for big tech corporate job. I'm like, I was not in any way thinking about teaching this sort of stuff. This was
Wow.
before my wife and I got together too. So people started asking for it. I started going in that direction. I started doing some coaching work here and there. And then I kind of got away from it for a little bit until my wife and I got together. And she was already working in the space. And it just was such a perfect fit when we got together. She was like, the part that you bring, the part that I'm already doing, we have to do this together. And so we started doing it together. In the early days, she was more of the front face and I was doing a lot of the back end. So like she would get a new client and do an intake, and then we would sit down, she'd go, okay, here's what's going on, and then together we would like map out a plan for this person. I would do a lot of the back end content. So like when she was doing videos and stuff like that, we would write them together. And then little by little, she's like, you really need to come into the forefront. She's like, you need to be out here teaching. And so little by little, I started coming out from behind the scenes. And here we are 10 years later.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing and like such a perfect match that you drew somebody in that already was kind of on the thread. And what a lucky woman too, because I will say it's not necessarily that common. It's not easy just to find a guy that knows this stuff. I'm like living proof of that. And I'd love to hear what your advice would be around if there is a woman out there, and I've been this woman many times. You meet a guy who's not familiar with this, but I know that I personally, I am not doing 6 minute sex or even 10 minute sex. That's just like a fucking deal breaker. I'm not fucking doing it.
Good for
But
you.
yeah, and I know what's possible. And how would you advise a woman to inspire a man to become interested in this? I mean, we can't, without him feeling like we're controlling him or controlling his orgasm or being some kind of sadistic bitch, right? Which is how this honestly, like the idea of delaying ejaculation comes across like really shocking. Like it, oh my, even women are shocked by, oh well, my husband would just be really angry if he didn't get to come right away, and or men feel like that she's trying to control his organ. We don't want to do that. So what would your advice be for women that maybe want their man to last longer and be able to give them more sexually? How can a woman inspire a man to explore this?
That is a fantastic question. And honestly, it's a little bit of a tricky subject.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm asking you, you're
Well,
the pro.
the problem is this, is that if a woman approaches a man from the point of view of like, hey, you need to learn how to last longer, he's instantly going to hear that as he's not good enough. He's not good in bed. It's gonna poke at his ego and he's
Yeah.
likely to fire back with resistance. So that obviously is not a good route. So you can't approach it from the point of view of there's something that he's not good enough at or that he's not doing right, because he's just never going to hear it. The truth is, he's not doing it right and he's not good enough.
Yeah.
But you can't say it in that way at all. He's never going to hear it and it's never going to
Right.
motivate him to be better.
Nope. Totally.
So instead, you have to approach it from the point of view of, hey, let's see what we could achieve together. Let's see how much further we could take this. And hey, maybe if we were able to do this, we could experience that, right? The idea of saying, yeah, let's see where else we can take this.
Oh, I
You
love
know,
that.
just coming back to my own experience again, you know, I have had, you know, some really amazing mind-blowing sex. You know, my wife and I, we had this super long, I don't even remember it anymore, but it was like this long name. We used to call it like out of this world, blow your mind, fucking amazing sex. But it was even longer than that. It was like a bunch of words all strung together to try to explain the experience that we shared
Wow.
together. And so I've experienced that a lot. And even though I've gotten to those levels, I always kept asking the question, where else could we take this? What else
Wow.
is possible?
Yeah.
Right? Like there is no real limit to it.
Right.
And so approaching it from that, like, hey, you know, our sex is pretty good, but I'm curious what else is possible? You know, I've been reading this book and it says that we could actually experience this. We could have multiple orgasms, or we could, you know, go into these ecstatic states where, you know, we're in altered consciousness. Wouldn't that
Yeah.
be cool? Doesn't that sound like fun? You know, and try to
Yeah.
motivate him to be better through that.
Yeah. Which is why when I asked you that question, it was how can a woman inspire a man to be interested in this? Because we are not going to teach the men. We're not going to why we don't want to be in that capacity of being like teacher and coach and mommy. We don't want to do that to our man, ladies out there listening. And we don't want to do the thing either where I'm like, hey, read this book. Right? Like, I'm guessing. Am I right? Like, he doesn't want to read the book.
Well, he probably, if it was me, I'd be like, whoa, that's cool. I might read
You're an
it.
anomaly though, Kevin. You're not
Yeah,
normal.
I think that's true. You're right. Handing him a book is probably not going to work for most men. But
Right. But we
you
can
could read a
inspire.
book and you
Yes.
could be like, guess what I learned?
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Inspiring curiosity. This is just great.
Totally.
Yeah. So
Oh,
that's key.
Another thing we haven't talked about yet, and I don't know if you want to go there, if it's on the agenda for this conversation, but we also haven't talked about the woman's role in helping a man last longer when it comes to actual sexual penetration.
Oh my gosh. No, we have not talked about this. I'm so glad you brought this up, and let's definitely dive in to what is the woman's role in helping a man last longer and control his ejaculator, delay ejaculation.
Okay, so we talked earlier about the idea that a woman is far more sexually powerful than a man. And if a woman wants to make a man come, she can. Now, obviously, it's going to be more of a chore for some men if they're really trained. I've had a woman or two try to make me come and be like, "Why aren't you coming yet?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm working pretty hard not to." But the idea that, so another thing we talked about earlier too was, about how women often get addicted to the quick clitoral orgasm. So here's the scenario. A man doesn't last that long. A woman knows that she doesn't have a lot of time to try to get to her orgasm. So if she even starts to get anywhere near it in those, 2 to 7 minutes or maybe 10, she's like, "I'm fucking going for it. There's no way I'm letting this go, because if it goes, he's gonna come and then it's gone and I'm never gonna get there." The problem with that though is once she really lets her energy go and probably her physical body and starts moving more and starts, potentially if she's trained her vagina contracting those muscles more, like she's going to push him right over the edge. And then she's actually going to create the very thing that she didn't want to happen to begin with. So what women can do is pay attention to where he's at. So there's something that I teach everybody, men, women, couples, called the arousal scale. I didn't create it. Lots of other sex educators teach the arousal scale. It's a scale from 1 to 10. How aroused you are, where your sweet spot is, and when you go over that and into the zone where you're about to do orgasm slash ejaculate. So one of the things that women can do is pay attention to where he's at. Now, he's supposed to be paying attention to where he's at too. So it's not just the woman's job. He's supposed to be paying attention and careful and curious about, okay, where am I at in that? And okay, I'm getting close. Let me slow down a little bit. But she should be doing that as well. And if she sees that he's getting too close, she needs both physically maybe to slow down and stop moving. Like let's say she's on top and she's, riding away. She needs to slow down a little bit when she sees that. She also needs to back her energy down a little bit. So we talked about women, they are opening, they are receiving. That's their job. When they truly get to those states where they are opening and receiving, it's like a black hole. In a sense that it pulls everything into it.
Including
So,
man's ejaculation.
including a man's, but that's what it's designed to do. That's exactly its point, is to pull our ejaculation in, right? It's procreation. So when she's really hitting those spots, she's going to be pulling on you energetically. She's going to be literally trying to pull the ejaculation right out of you. So if you don't want him to ejaculate, you have to stop pulling on him. Now, a lot of women are going to say this. They're going to say, "Yeah, but why should I have to give up my pleasure, right? Why should I have to put it aside?" If you can forgo the early orgasm and help him last longer, you're likely as a woman to have a bigger orgasm down the line. So when men have an orgasm slash ejaculation, they get depleted in energy, right? And it's going to take them time to get back up. The opposite is true for women. They have one orgasm, the next one's going to be more powerful. The next one's going to be more. Now, granted, they're not always, like a perfect stair-step ladder. Some might be a little smaller than that. But the idea is the energy keeps building in a woman, and the orgasms get more intense over time. So if you can forego the early one, help him last longer, help him back his energy level down until he can get into his sweet spot and be able to sustain the lovemaking process without going over his edge, you're likely to have bigger orgasm later on.
Oh, yeah, can I just add to this?
Yes,
Want to
please.
add, this is also true. And what's also possible for the woman, if we don't just try to get to climax really quickly, right? Or we do learn how to slow down and know our own arousal scales, we have access then to these other types of orgasm that just aren't otherwise accessible, like the valley
Yes.
orgasm, where you just get the ripples of cool energy moving through your body, or the deeper orgasm, such as a cervical, which really cervical orgasm really requires deeper levels of surrender and trust, which if you're tensing it, you're tightening it, you're trying to just get to your climax, you're never going to have the opportunity to sink more deeply into those deeper types of expanded orgasmic experiences. That's been my experience anyway. So there's a lot of benefit for women as well to not just chase a climax, but to actually know our own arousal levels. To back off. And I think also, Kevin, what you're speaking to here is like the sexual relationship belongs to the couple, right? It's both your responsibility for what you're creating together as a couple. So if you have a vested interest in experiencing more expanded states of pleasure as the woman, it's in your best interest to help your man and to do what needs to be done so that he can, cultivate his stamina. And if we are grinding and pulling and I'm just going to go for it, we are kind of making that process hard. We're working against ourselves as women, actually, and making it much more difficult.
You're
It's a
absolutely
co-created
right.
thing. Yeah,
You're absolutely right. And if you could see my head, I'm like a bobblehead over here going,
thank
yes. Everything you just said, 100% right on. Two things I want to address there. The first one is the different types of orgasms you can access the longer you go. Absolutely spot on with that. The depth of those orgasms, like you mentioned, cervical orgasms. If a woman is tense because for whatever reason, she doesn't feel safe, there isn't trust, she's not sure, she's pushing too hard for the orgasm, whatever. Pressure and stimulation on the cervix is probably going to feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
But if she's really relaxed, that pressure and stimulation on the cervix is suddenly going to feel really pleasurable.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very true. Oh, the other piece to this that I want to throw in here and just get your take on it. There's also the flip side of this where a woman is addicted to the man's ejaculation. Like she, sometimes women will be like, well, he's not. He didn't ejaculate when we have sex, or he doesn't always ejaculate when we have sex, and like she's really upset about it. And a lot of times the understory to that is that she feels like she's not sexy enough, he's not attracted to her, or she's not a powerful enough lover. And so sometimes women will want to pull that ejaculation out of their man because it makes them feel powerful. And if he doesn't ejaculate, she has all this psychological baggage around it. So curious what your take is on that, and like how would you address that if in this situation?
Yeah, so there's two things that sometimes can happen with women around that. The first one is they see their ability to make a man ejaculate as their power over,
Right.
right? This is less common, so I won't spend a lot of time talking about it, but there are some women out there who are like, I am a powerful woman. I can make him come like that. And I'm
Yes.
over here going, how is that power? You're robbing yourself of
Yeah.
amazing sex.
Totally agreed.
But okay, so that's one piece. The more common one is the one that you were really talking about, which is women feel like, yeah, their sexiness, their attractiveness, is somehow less if he doesn't ejaculate. Oh, he must not have been that into it, or he must not like me, or oh, I'm too fat, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right.
I actually have had several men come to me and want to work with me as a coach because they didn't have a problem with the fact that they weren't ejaculating. Their female partners had a
Yeah.
problem with them not ejaculating. And so what I often do with them is, well, first of all, we look and see, do you really have a problem with delayed ejaculation? So they usually come to me saying, I've got delayed ejaculation and, it's a problem for my partner and we need to fix it. Okay, first we look and go, do you really have delayed ejaculation?
Right.
Most of the time, these men are making it about 20 or 30 minutes before they ejaculate, and they are thinking that that is delayed ejaculation. So I have to give them a mental reframe. This is not Delayed. This is not the clinical delayed ejaculation.
Right.
And by the way, it's going to take your woman 20 to 30 minutes just to have an orgasm anyway. So this is a good thing. So we reframe that a lot is what we do. And, you know, it's their job, of course, if I'm not working with them as a couple, it's his job as the man to go back and help her with the reframe as well. But also he needs to really clearly communicate to her how much he is enjoying the sex, how wonderful it is. There can be a lot of reasons for a man not ejaculating every time. So some men obviously are doing it on purpose because they want to be able to last longer, but some men aren't. And as we age, this can sometimes be an age-related thing. This can be very much a psychological thing, which it usually is. So there can be his own issues, his own psychological issues that are getting in the way, but it doesn't have anything to do with her. She's right. perceiving it that way, but it's right. not. And so this communication piece of, hey, honey, I love you. I'm still attracted to you. I love the sex that we're having, but I don't either feel a need to ejaculate or right now, you know, I'm dealing with my own issues, but just know that it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah, the reframe on that I think is so important. So for the women out there that are listening to this, if you're resonating, to understand that like that, there's psychological attachment happening if you're having this conversation in your head. If your man is not ejaculating and you're making it mean something about it's just like when a man's penis is not erect, like that's not necessarily a reflection, right? If there's some erectile stuff, I mean, you have two options.
It's probably not.
Yeah, it's probably not. It's either hard or it's not. And where a lot of women go sideways is they turn it into a thing like, oh my gosh, like maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe you need to talk to a therapist. And it's like, wow, like if you just like let it chill and like just let it be, like it's not a reflection of you. There's nothing wrong with him, most likely. But we make it into a big giant thing and then it becomes a thing. Now there's anxiety and thingness around it. And it's not really what's going on, right? Like right. detaching yourself from this idea that just because your man is not erect or is not didn't ejaculate, that it means something about your attractiveness or his love for you, like totally not related is what you're saying, right, Kevin?
Yeah, well, okay. If health issues are out of the way and psychological issues are out of the way, and we're a man standing there naked in front of a naked woman, we're going to have an erection almost no matter what.
Right. right?
Like that's just, it's our biology. We see a naked woman and we're like, oh. Yeah. And if we like, there's no control over it. It just happens. So if it's not happening, okay, there could be some medical reasons, right? If we ruled that out, then there's probably some other stuff in the way. That other stuff as a man, it could be my own stuff. It could be my own insecurities. It could be my own performance anxiety. It could be my own stress levels. Maybe my cortisol levels are too high, which are depleting my testosterone levels. There's all of that. But there could be resentment in the relationship too. She's always nagging me. She's always this. She's always that, right? It's not necessarily a physical thing. It's the stuff that gets in the way. So you got to figure out what is the stuff that's in the way. And that might be his stuff, but ladies, it might be your stuff too. So you've got to really, I tell both sides, you got to look in the mirror and you got to be really honest with yourself. You got to ask the questions. What am I doing? What am I doing that's getting in the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would think a lot of women wouldn't even understand that that is a getting in the way. Right. Cause you know, women want to help. They want to figure it out. They want to help their man figure it out, you know, but honestly, like that's usually it's getting in the way.
Yeah. Right. There's tons of stuff that can get in the way, you know, especially if it's not being talked about, if it's not being vocalized, if you're not communicating about these things, man, our monkey minds create all kinds of crazy stuff. Like the whole scenario that you just described with women, it was like a scenario she created in her head. Like he didn't get an erection. Oh, that must mean this. And I must not be that. And I must be this. And this must be, that was all just made up in your head. Like our mind does that, right?
Right.
So you've got to figure out how to not go into story, how to let that stuff go, and then figure out what the actual things that are in the way are.
Yeah. And any women listening, just trust me. Like if you and your man start to work on this and he wants to start to cultivate lasting longer and some of the amazing things that Kevin has shared with us today that are available in his program, Power and Mastery, truth be told, like you're not going to want to go back. Trust me. It'll become a very sexy, hot thing that he is able to last and have stamina. You'll be able to experience yourself in a whole new way, relax more, have more pleasure, and really deepen into a whole new level of your own sexuality. So it's definitely, in my opinion, like an extremely worthwhile pursuit in any sexual relationship.
Absolutely. And you said something earlier on in the show about, 5 to 7 minute sex was an absolute no go for you. Like you're not even going to go
Oh yeah.
there for that,
No.
right?
Deal,
And
that's a
that's
deal breaker.
right. And that's the whole thing is you just said, ladies, when you can get there, you'll never want to go back. And that's where you're at. You're like, you've been there. You're like, I'm
Yeah.
not going back. And that's
Right.
really what will happen.
Yeah, it's so true. Wow. Well, Kevin, this has been just an amazing conversation with you, and I know our listeners hopefully have just gotten a lot out of what you've shared. I would love just to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where can they find you, how can they connect with you, and anything else that you would like us to know today before we wrap up.
Great, thank you. So the sort of main hub for all my stuff is my website at kevinandcelene.com. If you go to that website, you can obviously find, my podcast and blog articles, courses, all that kind of stuff. And specifically, if you go to kevinandcelene.com/vault, if you sign up there, you get access, free access to an entire library full of free resources on sex, love, and relationship. So that's the first place to go is kevinandcelene.com. You can also check out the Love Lab podcast. That is on all major podcast platforms. It's also on YouTube as well. You can check out my YouTube channel at Kevin and Celine. There's over 650 videos dealing with sex, love, and relationship. And then finally, powerandmastery.com, which is my online courses for men's sexual mastery. And yeah, I think if you can make it to any one of those, you're in a good place.
Yes, you are in a good place. I'll make sure to leave those in the show notes as well. And yeah, thank you so much, Kevin. This has been an absolute delight to have you here today.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It was a really fun conversation.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. To keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.